وكذلك أوحينا إليك روحا من أمرنا ما كنت تدري ما الكتاب ولا الإيمان ولكن جعلناه نورا نهدي به من نشاء من عبادنا وإنك لتهدي إلى صراط مستقيم صراط الله الذي له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض ألا إلى الله تصير الأمور.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. And welcome to another episode of Fundamentals of Faith. In our previous episodes, we discussed the concept of ibadah or worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we discussed the preconditions of ibadah and the motivational factors that should be present when somebody does an act of worship. Then we started discussing various acts which qualify as ibadah. We discussed the concept of tawakkul or putting one's trust in Allah, and we discussed the concept of patience at the divine decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In today's episode, we're going to discuss some more manifestations of ibadah or acts of worship. And today we're going to discuss dua, or calling out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and isti'adha, or seeking refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we hope you'll stay tuned for today's episode. In today's episode, we're going to discuss a number of acts which qualify as ibadah. And the first act that we're going to discuss is that of dua, or making a plea, calling out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, dua is the essence of ibadah. It symbolizes and it is the greatest manifestation of the relationship between the one who worships with the one who he is worshiping. This is because when somebody makes an act of dua, he is showing his helplessness and he is showing the all-powerful capabilities of the one he is making dua to. And this is why the Prophet ﷺ said in Sunan Abi Dawood, in hadith number 1476, he says, "Ad-du'a'u huwa al-ibadah." Dua is the essence of worship. In other words, there is nothing that symbolizes worship better and more strongly than dua itself. And then the Prophet ﷺ said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the verse in the Qur'an, Surah Al-Ghafir, وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ اُدْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. Your Lord has said, make dua to me, I will respond to you. So here in this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam clearly stated that dua is the essence of worship. There is no act that qualifies and symbolizes dua, symbolizes ibadah, like dua or calling out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is so because the one who makes dua shows that he himself is not capable of anything. And he also shows at the same time that the one he is calling is the one who can help him, the one who can save him from any evil and protect him from any harm. And that is why the Prophet ﷺ said, "Ad-du'a'u huwa al-ibadah." Dua is the essence of worship. That is why when someone makes a dua to other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has directed the greatest act of worship to other than Allah. Therefore, to make dua to other than Allah is an act of shirk which goes against our tawheed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran Surah Jinn verse 20, that know that the masjids are for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأَنَّ الْمَسَاجَدَ لِلَّهِ فَلَا تَدْعُوا مَعَ اللَّهِ أَحَدًا. Do not make dua to other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should say, قُلْ, say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّمَا أَدْعُوا رَبِّي, I only make dua to my Rabb, to my Lord. وَلَا أُشْرِكُ بِهِ أَحَدًا, and I will not commit shirk with him. So this ayah shows you that to make dua to other than your Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is an act of shirk. In yet another verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ تَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ, those whom you call out to besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, عِبَادٌ أَمْثَالُكُمْ, they are created like you. Any object that you call out to, whether it be a rock or a stone, or it be a prophet or a saint, or it even be an angel, that object is created. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, those whom you make dua to, besides Allah, are created like you are. They are ibad, they are created like you are. So they cannot help you or harm you. They do not have the powers to help you or harm you, unlike Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the all-powerful, al-qadir. And yet another verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in Surah Al-Mu'minun, verse 117, that whoever makes dua to other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he will have no evidence. He will have no evidence for what he has done, and his Lord will punish him, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not allow the kafir, the disbeliever, any success. Once again showing you that to make dua to other than Allah makes a person a disbeliever. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly calls the one who makes dua to other than him a kafir or a disbeliever. In fact, in one verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even addresses our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he says to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَلَا تَدْعُ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ مَا لَا يَنْفَعُكَ وَلَا يَضُرُّكَ. Do not make dua to others besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these objects which can neither benefit you nor harm you. فَإِن فَعَلْتَ. If you do so, if you, O Muhammad, were to make dua to other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you will be amongst the zalimeen or the evildoers. Now, why is this verse addressed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam? It is not conceivable that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam will do any major sin, much less an act of shirk. Obviously, he is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Yet this verse is addressed to him. And Allah is commanding him in the singular, in the Arabic singular. And you, O Muhammad, do not make dua to other than Allah. If you were to do so, you will be amongst the destroyed, the evil people. The reason that this verse is addressed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is to show you the severity, to show you the evilness of calling out to other than Allah. In other words, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying is that if even you, O Muhammad, with your high status, being the best of all mankind and the greatest human being and the most blessed of all of the creation, if you, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, were to make dua to other than Allah, then even you would be amongst the wrongdoers. So how much more so when someone lesser than the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam makes dua to other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In yet another verse which we quoted in an earlier lecture, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O mankind, all of mankind, Ya ayyuhan nas, ضُرِبَ مَثَلٌ فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ. Allah has given an example. This is in Surah Al-Hajj, verse 73. Allah has given you an example, so pay attention to it, listen to it. Those whom you make dua to besides Allah, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ تَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ. Those whom you make dua to besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will never be able to create a fly, even if all of them combine forces to do so. If all of the creation were to combine forces together and cooperate in order to create a fly, they would not be able to do so. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and were this fly to take something away from them, they would not be able to retrieve what the fly has taken. And we mentioned earlier that how beautiful this verse is. That those whom you call out to besides Allah are so helpless, they cannot protect themselves from a fly. From a fly they cannot protect themselves. You have a plate of food, the fly comes and takes some minuscule amount, a few molecules of food. Can you retrieve that food back from the fly? Of course not. The greatest scientist could not do so. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, then why is it that you make dua to them? Why is it that you call out to them when you know that they are not qualified, they are not all powerful in order to do anything? The implications of making dua to other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are many. Of them is that when you make dua to another object, you claim that that object cares about you. It loves you more than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why you call out to him. You know the small child, when it wants something, suppose it wants some candy, it will go to its parent who is of a softer heart. The one who it knows it will be able to extract what it wants from. Because he has a softer heart. Suppose the mother has a softer heart, then the child will go to the mother. He knows the father will say, no, I'm not going to give you candy. So he's going to go beg from the mother for the candy. Because he knows that the mother has a softer heart. وَلِلَّهِ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى. To Allah belongs a better example. When Allah is the Rahman, the ever-merciful, the Rahim, the beneficent, the أَرْحَمُ الرَّحِمِينَ, the most merciful of all those that have mercy, then how is it that you can turn to someone else thinking that he will pity you more than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? This is one implication when you make dua to other than Allah. Yet another implication is that you claim that that object can hear you. You are sitting in some faraway country And the one that you make dua to is in yet another country, suppose. Or even suppose he is dead in the grave in front of you. You are claiming that that object is a Samir, the one who hears everything. That is why you make dua to him. Yet a Samir is one of the names of Allah. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hears everything. And nothing escapes him. So by making dua to other than Allah, you're giving that object the attribute of knowing everything and hearing everything. Yet another implication of making dua to other than Allah is that you claim that that object is all-powerful. That that object is capable of responding to your needs. He is Al-Qadir, Al-Qadir, Al-Muqtadir, the one who has the power to give you what you want. Yet once again, this is something that only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is characterized by. Allah is the Qadir. Ala kulli shay'in Qadir. He is the one who is capable to do all things. Once a person dies, he cannot do anything for you. So to make dua to this person, you are claiming that this person or this soul or this saint, while his body is rotting in the grave, after he has left this life, while his body is inside the grave, you think that he can come out and help you. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who is Al-Qadir. Ala kulli shay'in Qadir. He is the one who is capable of doing all things. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-A'raf, verse 194, is that those whom you call out to besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are servants like yourselves. So call out to them and see if they can respond to you. Allah challenges. فَدْعُوهُمْ فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُ لَكُمْ. Let them respond to you if you are truthful. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that these whom you call out to besides Allah, they cannot help themselves, much less help you. They cannot help themselves. The person who's in the grave, or even the idol, or any person that you go to, he cannot help himself except with the permission of Allah. So how can he help you? He cannot protect himself from any harm. How can he protect you from any harm? So this shows you then that dua is one of the greatest manifestations of ibadah. Because it shows the helplessness of the created and the all-powerful capabilities of the Creator. Dua is the essence of worship. Dua is the essence of worship. It signifies, unlike any other act, and in no uncertain terms, the relationship between the worshipper and the worshipped. Therefore, dua must only be directed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to direct dua to any other being is an act of major shirk. We'll get back to the next half of the episode and talk about yet another aspect of worship, isti'adah, seeking refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We'll see you soon.
Many people trying to get together, but all their efforts were in vain because of ignoring or turning away from this great foundation. We see many people coming to the way of truth, following the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but later on they get off track. What is the reason behind that? Unity is a result, it's not a cover-up. We have to be united from inside. And Allah made this clear in the Quran when He said, وَأَطِيعُ اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُ الرَّسُولَ.
Discussing various acts of worship, and we had talked about dua. Right now we're going to talk about another act of worship which is similar to dua, and this is called isti'adha, or seeking refuge in Allah. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that when you recite the Quran in Surah An-Nahl verse 98, He says, when you recite the Quran, then seek refuge in Allah. فَإِذَا قَرَأْتَ الْقُرْآنَ فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ. Seek refuge in Allah. So isti'adha means you turn to Allah. Your heart goes out to Allah. And you say, oh Allah, protect me. Oh Allah, save me. This is an isti'adha. You turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a spiritual protection. So Allah commands us in the Quran that every time we recite it, every time we open up the Quran, the first thing we should say is, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ فَإِذَا قَرَأْتَ الْقُرْآنَ فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. The reason we do this is because we want to benefit from this book to the greatest possible extent. So we don't want shaitan coming and whispering in our ears. We don't want him to come and misinterpret the verses for us. So the first thing that we do when we open up the Quran, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. O Allah, I turn to you, I seek your refuge in shaitan, the accursed. Ar-rajim means the accursed. So I don't want him to come and disturb me. I don't want him to come and change the correct meanings of the Quran or make me mispronounce what I'm saying. I want to understand the Quran as it is meant to be understood. So I seek refuge in you from the one who will try to misinterpret the Quran for me. In yet another verse, in Surah Fussilat, verse 36, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِمَّا يَنْزَغَنَّكَ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ نَزْغٌ فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ. Anytime shaitan touches you with some whisperings of evil, anytime shaitan whispers something into you that you should not do, what should you do? فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ. Seek refuge in Allah. Turn to Allah. Verily Allah is the Sami', the Alim. Allah is the All-Hear and the All-Knower. Anytime we get a bad thought, anytime shaitan comes and whispers something that we shouldn't do, immediately we have been commanded to turn back to Allah. Isti'adha. A'udhu. A'udhu. I turn to you, O Allah, for protection. Billahi, with Allah, min ash-shaytan al-jim, from the shaitan, the accursed. So the fact that isti'adha is an act of worship and that Allah commands us to do it to Him automatically implies that when we practice isti'adha, when we do isti'adha to other than Allah, when we say a'udhu and then we don't say the name of Allah, we say another name, then this becomes an act of shirk. There's a very beautiful verse, akhi, if you can hand me Tafsir ibn Kathir, in Surah Jinn, verse 6. Tafsir ibn Kathir is without a doubt, undoubtedly, the most famous book of tafsir ever written. And it was written by Imaduddin Abu al-Fida Ismail ibn Kathir. And he died in the year 774 Hijriya. We had previously referred to Tafsir al-Tabari. Tafsir al-Tabari, without a doubt, is the most voluminous and encyclopedic authentic tafsir. But one of the problems of al-Tabari is that it's too big. And the average Muslim is not going to buy 30 volumes of tafsir. Tafsir ibn Kathir is usually available 4 to 5 volumes. This edition is available in 1 volume, as you can see. Okay, so it's a moderate-sized tafsir. And in it, he compiled the best narrations. If you like, the cream of the crop. And he didn't go into too much excessive detail. He meant it for the average Muslim. So the number one reference for the average Muslim should be Tafsir ibn Kathir for the Quran. Because it's the average size. It's suitable for the average person. In Surah Al-Jinn, verse 6, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states that there used to be, states the story of jinns who heard the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam reciting the Quran and then accepted Islam. And Allah narrates in this surah their conversations that they would have amongst themselves. So Allah narrates the statements of the jinn. And of course the jinn is a separate creation of Allah. They cannot be seen by human eyes. But they have intelligence, they have free will. They have the free will to disobey Allah if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes them to do so. So they are like men in this regard. Yet Allah has preferred men over them. Because Allah commanded Iblis, the leader of the jinn, He commanded Iblis to do sajda prostrate to Adam to show us that we as human beings have a higher status than that of the jinn. But the jinn share with us in many things. Of them is the fact that we said they have free will and that they have intelligence as well. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the jinn in the Quran and their conversations. And of what they said, Surah Jinn verse 6, there used to be رِجَالٌ مِّنَ الْإِنسِ. There used to be some men who would seek refuge. يَعُوذُون إِسْتِعَاذَ أَعُوذُ. They would seek refuge. They would say إِسْتِعَاذَ مِّنَ الْجِنِ. رِجَالٌ مِّنَ الْجِنِ, from the men amongst jinn. And because of this, the jinn increased in their arrogance and their haughtiness. What is the meaning of this verse? We turn to the tafsir, and that is the whole point of tafsir. We don't understand something, we don't just sit there and think over it. We're not qualified to. We haven't studied so many sciences that are required in order to interpret the Quran. If I go to someone who hasn't studied engineering, and I give to him an engineering problem, and I say, can you solve this? He will say, no, I can't. I'm not qualified to do so, because I haven't studied mathematics, chemistry, physics, algebra, sciences. Similarly, when it comes to the Quran and Sunnah, even more so. If we're not qualified, we go back to the sources. And that is why you will find in this episode, we always go back to the two sources of Islam, the Quran and the Sunnah. The statements of Allah and the statements of the Messenger of Allah. These are the sources of Islam, and this is what we're going to use. So we go back to the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we see what is the meaning of this verse. Ibn Kathir narrates that the Sahaba interpreted this verse by stating that there would be in the times of Jahiliyyah, pre-Islamic times, any time a man would be traveling in the desert and he would encamp the night in a valley, then he would say out loud, أَعُوذُ بِسَيِّدِ هَذَا الْوَادِ, I seek refuge in the leader of the jinns of this valley. I seek his refuge. Don't harm me. I turn to you for refuge. So they would seek isti'adha, a'udhu, from the jinn. Because of this, Allah says, the jinn increased in their arrogance. The jinn increased in their arrogance. Therefore, when Islam came, it prohibited this act. Because we said that seeking isti'adha, or turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is a very integral part of our iman, of our faith, of our tawheed. If we turn to other than Allah, whether it be in dua, or in isti'adha, or in a'udhu billah, a'udhu in anything, it must be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another aspect of dua and isti'adha is seeking help. Seeking help. Isti'adha means to seek protection. So that is one type of dua. Another type of dua is seeking help. So there is two types of categories, if you like. A problem happens, or it might happen, and you turn to something for help, supernatural. This is isti'adha. There is another aspect which you want something good. And this is called isti'ana, or seeking help. It can also be called istighatha. You want to get something good. Now, if this type of dua is for something supernatural, then once again, it must be asked to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To ask it from other than Allah is an act of shirk. Allah says in the Quran, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, you alone do we worship, and you alone, نَسْتَعِينَ means isti'ana, you alone is the one whose help is sought. We seek no one's help except your help. So when we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for isti'ana, for help, it must be to Allah and only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Allah says in Surah Yunus, verse 107, وَإِنْ يَمْسَسْكَ اللَّهُ بِضُرٍّ فَلَا كَاشِفَ لَهُ إِلَّهُ, if Allah inflicts you with some hardship, then no one can lift that hardship except Him. No one, no matter how great a prophet or a saint or an angel he is, no one can change the will of Allah. No one has the right to come and change Allah's decision. Allah is Allah and the created is the created. No matter how blessed the created might be, he is still created. Allah created him, and that creation is powerless unless Allah wills otherwise. So Allah says that if Allah inflicts you with something, some hardship, no one can lift that hardship except Allah. And then he says in the same verse, and if Allah wishes to give you good, then no one can prevent that good from coming to you. No one can come between you and the will of Allah. Is someone more powerful than Allah? A'udhu billah. Nobody. So when Allah intends good for you, no one can prevent it from reaching you. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests you with some evil, some afflictions, then no one can lift those afflictions from you except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So my dear brothers and sisters, the fact of the matter is that turning to Allah for our supernatural needs, for the needs of our life and our hereafter, is an integral part of our tawheed, an integral part of our faith. To turn to other than Allah for such needs is an act of blatant and open shirk, which goes against our tawheed. But here we have to differentiate between natural acts and supernatural acts. Now suppose I don't have a car and I need to get somewhere. I call up my brother and I say, can you give me a ride home? I'm asking for help, right? Is this an act of shirk? Of course not. Why? Because it's something physical. Something he has been given. He has been given a car and I don't have a car. Suppose there's a heavy bag I have to lift. I can't lift it. I say, Akhi, can you just help me lift this? Once again, this is something natural. Allah has given this person some powers or some, if you like, yani help or some characteristics that he has not given me. Therefore, I turn to him for a natural, a physical thing. But supernatural, for example, I want a child. I want a child. I must pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I want to be forgiven for my sins. I must pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is the one who does this. This is supernatural. So we differentiate between the physical matters, those matters which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to certain beings, And we can help, we can seek help from those beings, realizing that those beings are only there because Allah created them and He gave them those powers. Versus paranormal, if you like, or supernatural help, beyond the normal and physical realm of the world. In which case, to turn to these objects is an act of major shirk. So these are some of the etiquettes of dua. And inshallah, in the next lesson, we'll continue talking about some more manifestations of acts of worship, ibadah. Until then, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.